DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. It's Labor Day. We're laboring? I don't know.
I guess. It's not really labor if you're not getting paid, right?
True. So we are not getting paid.
MLS does pay us under the table, though.
So that's true. That we are MLS bought and paid for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did you do anything fun for Labor Day?
I went to a 4-year-old's birthday party.
So no.
That's a negative.
Okay.
That's a big no.
All right. Did you at least have a beer?
We're
having beer now. But.
No. These are the ones.
Okay.
It was at a splash pad.
Oh, man.
In the middle of Hamilton.
So okay.
It wasn't really like a bar there or anything.
All right. So you had a very dad-ish holiday.
Typical dad, you know. I always make fun of that with the guys at work. Like, yeah, the typical, like, what do you guys go on? Like, I had a kid's birthday party. What do you do there? Kind of just stand around.
Yeah. Hope that you don't have to make any serious conversation with people you don't really
know. Make sure your kids don't ruin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's like at someone's house. Ooh. You're like keeping an eye on like, let's not break anything.
It's the most you can hope for in most circumstances.
For the most part, yeah. Yeah. How about you? How was your Labor Day?
I mean, it wasn't bad. We were at the lake.
Yeah?
Just did some lakey things.
When you say the lake.
Yeah. You and I talk about this, but it's Lake Williamstown. It's about an hour south of Cincinnati, roughly.
Okay.
It's a water reservoir lined with homes. I mean, it's not very big, but it's an easy drive.
Sounds fun.
It's an easy way to kick back, have some beers, enjoy the water, let the kids wear themselves out a little bit. And there's no television there. There's scant cell phone access as well. So.
And you like these are good things? You're saying these are good things?
As someone who spends a large chunk of their days staring at screens, essentially, for their actual living, it is like a nice little break to get a electronic disconnect a little bit.
Yeah, no, I get that. That makes sense.
Every so often. Of course, I, you know, stand at the top of the driveway so I can get cell phone.
Like, hey, well, check that score.
Yeah. Get that next tweet out, you know, whatever you got to do.
Certainly.
Yeah.
So we had the North London Derby this week. Right. We had, other matches.
There were lots of other matches.
MLS.
Mm-hmm.
As we get ready for international break. You excited about that?
No.
I always hate this.
This first one of the season.
Yeah, you get like three, four matches in under your belt. You're just feeling good. You're getting in that rhythm of the season. And then this comes along.
Ruins it.
These matches only mean stuff like once every 4 years are these like meaningful matches.
Mm-hmm. Well, every match is important right now in U.S. soccer, given the Greg Berhalter and the microcosm that all that is, you know? No Josie Altidore or Michael Bradley.
They'll be here. Yeah. They'll be in Cincinnati. They will be here dropping an 8-burger on our beautiful team.
Yeah, that's more than likely to happen. So, yeah, I mean, it is a bit of a bummer, but it gives us an opportunity to talk about some other stuff for a little bit, if nothing else.
Yeah, so we got North London Derby, we got the rest of the Premier League, the European transfer window also closed.
Yeah, finally.
Today-ish, I guess today.
Yeah, I think it was today.
And then domestic stuff, as MLS is going and starting to wind down. 6 matches left for the most part for most teams.
Yeah, a few have some more, a few less.
There is a tale of two cities going on that I'll break down of one of the just two historic teams in the making this season.
Mm-hmm.
One, a good historic, and the other,
a bad
Cincinnati.
Yeah. I knew it was going to be that. So we'll get to all of those things, but let's do the thing that no one wants us to do, and yet we still require ourselves to do at the start of every show.
Fantasy.
Fantasy land. I continue to be really bad. I moved no places. I'm at 95th. You improved 16 places to 73rd. James Thomas still on top. IX Trees down. Second show in a row. So there's your Premier League update. Over in the MLS League, Friedman's Robo Ball, 9 shows in a row. The gap is narrowing, though, between him and second place. So with just a couple weeks left, there's an opportunity for him to get dethroned here. High drama.
It's getting dicey.
High drama.
You better hang on.
Yeah, there's
what's going to happen.
No one cares. Fantasy update is over with. Let's get over into the topics for today.
North London Derby.
That's right.
a win that feels like, or a draw that feels like a win, and a draw that feels like a loss.
Yeah, just who had one? Who had one, and which one it went to? It was clearly Spurs that had a draw that felt like a loss.
Right, you guys go out 2-0, start this match.
Yeah, didn't even really look like we were playing all that well. But Arsenal were definitely playing worse than us.
Right.
For that first
half. So of the two teams on the pitch at that time, you guys.
Yeah. Did that. And then Arsenal grabbed one back just before the stroke of halftime.
Yeah, Lacazette just barreling through that box there.
The worst possible time to concede a goal. Spurs backs like repetitively trying to dribble out of the back for whatever reason. I'm not entirely sure. And it finally stung them as they got picked off twice in a row. And then Arsenal getting another goal, scrappy, and then really should have probably won the match, if not for a couple of really fun Hugo Lloris saves.
Yeah, I mean, they had all of the momentum at that point.
Yeah, they really did. It was a little nerve-wracking. I was definitely chewing away at the nails at the La Rosa's in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. I don't know if you saw that.
You went to a La Rosa's, which, if you're not, from the non-Cincinnati people listening, that is a local pizza chain.
Mm-hmm. Not known as a boozing location, really, in any capacity.
No, but I mean, most of them do have, like, bars. Like, they have, like, a bar section in a lot of their setups.
It's true.
But, yeah, they're, like, the big chain, the big local chain.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big La Rosa's guy?
I mean, I don't dislike La Rosa's. My wife really likes La Rosa's.
Yeah.
But in Dry Ridge, Kentucky.
That was either that.
It's Slim Pickens. There's literally no other, like, there's no sports bars.
Right.
Or really bars of any type. And La Rosa's had a bar that opened up at an early enough hour for us to actually get in. They flipped the game on for us. We were the only people there watching any sports of any type. It's a little weird, but had some locals that kind of wandered in and were like, ooh, soccer, and then definitely left.
That's almost as good as I had a friend that was traveling first week of the Premier League season. I was just talking to him this week, and he ended up eating at a McDonald's, and they have, like, TVs and a lot of McDonald's on, and he got them to turn a game on at the McDonald's.
Why not? Can you imagine spending, like, 2 hours at McDonald's just to watch your
refilling that Coke?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, guys, it's free refills when I'm here, right?
Like, sir, you gotta leave.
Sir, you've had 17 Cokes.
You're gonna have to go. We've already had to replace the bag of syrup.
Yeah, it's disgusting how much actual sugar you consumed. But no, it was definitely a non-lively atmosphere for it, but an incredible match for the neutral, I'm sure. You didn't have a stake in this match. It was probably a fun one. But as someone who had a stake in it, I did not really enjoy this match in any capacity.
So, I mean,
your derby matches are always like...
Right.
A lot of time I try to watch them at home now because I just don't want to like deal with anyone bantering me. Like I want to be able to sulk if I need to sulk, and I want to be able to celebrate and not feel guilty about it or like punch someone's drink over. So a lot of times I try to do that at home, but this time it's pretty much the same thing when you're watching it at La Rosa's in Dry Ridge.
Yeah. Slam that calzone on the table.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Dang you, Aubameyang.
What I found really interesting about this match was the pre-match narrative. About Pochettino and Spurs and how unsettled they were.
I mean, we talked about this last week. Yeah. Like, that was the vibe, right?
It is, but it really, I don't know, I felt like the Robbies, I think it was Robbie, I'm not even sure which
Earl.
One is which. Yeah, I think it was Earl who was calling this weekend. And he really kind of went into, like, is there something going on at Spurs? And I think we all kind of know, like, the situation with Eriksen, which is now temporarily over.
He scored all as well.
I know, right? Until he signs a new deal, nothing as well.
No, everything's fine now. Only score for teams you want to stay with forever.
It seems increasingly likely that he's going to sign a pre-contract in January and stiff us and not really help us out in any capacity. And it's his right to do so, but... it was built really into this whole idea is Pochettino going? And I really, like, I've spent an inordinate amount of time this weekend thinking about that topic. And I really didn't feel that way beforehand, and I still don't feel that way now. And he shrugged off suggestions of it called it a stupid idea. Like, his exact quote was a stupid idea that he was leaving. But it's got me, it's really got the gears turning up there, and it's making me uncomfortable that, like, how much it's making me think about it.
Temp check on that?
Now what are you feeling? I feel very certain that he's not leaving, but, like, there's a doubt that's crept into my mind. Like, if things go awry at Real Madrid this year, like, I don't see him.
Some would say it already is.
But, well, that's true. So,
I mean, I don't know. It's just their big signing they brought in is a fat guy now.
That's true.
Who's already injured.
Yeah.
So.
Good signings there.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Bummer, dude.
The other thing in this match I thought was worthy of mention, this was the first time that we saw Arsenal's now vaunted. I don't know. You can call them vaunted.
You pumped the brakes there, guy.
Front three of Aubameyang, Lacazette, and Nicolas Pepe. And it stretches of the second half. It looked pretty damn effective.
Sure. What's your take on this Pepe guy?
I mean, he's clearly...
just a ball of energy.
I mean, runs for days.
Yeah.
Lightning quick. That front three is very, very fast. I don't know if you listened at all to the Match of the Day commentary about this and Mourinho breaking this down. Also, by the way, if you've not had a chance to listen to Mourinho's...
yeah, they put a lot of those clips on YouTube and stuff like that. Oh. And I'll generally... those will kind of pop into my feed.
Jamie Redknapp, who is a garbage pundit, just straight garbage, has nothing to hold a candle to. And I now know why Mourinho's doing this. Like, he's doing it totally to clown on these people who've been talking shit about him for, like, the last 3 years, right? And now he's there, like, just offering actual analysis of matches.
Yeah.
And not just saying, like, here's what happened, but also, like, here's what could happen and what they might want to do to change things up, which is just a level beyond most commentary. But what Redknapp really got into is this entire idea of how they've been trying to play a front three. And Liverpool have all the success with their front three, very dynamic, three very quick attackers, a lot of similarities there. But that Lacazette isn't necessarily the type of striker who can play the same way as Firmino. So it was just a very interesting take on how all three of them can play together. And Mourinho thinks it's a good idea to play together, so who am I to argue against that at all?
He's Mourinho.
He is.
He is the special one. He knows what he's talking about.
It's
he's going to say it in a very condescending way, however he says it.
I didn't find it to be condescending at all.
But like, anytime Mourinho talks, there's always a underlying note of condescension.
Oh, definitely. It was aimed at Jamie Redknapp. His entire
just motif.
And, like, Graham Souness. And, like...
that guy's fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say he's fun, but...
fun's just a fun way to describe a guy that is just miserable.
There are a lot of people who find Jose Mourinho pretty fun as well. I find him
extremely
fun. Absolutely fun, and not in a condescending manner in any capacity. But yeah, it was an entertaining match. I thought both clubs can find things to be happy about. Both clubs can be unhappy about.
Well, that was like my kind of takeaway question. It's like, obviously it was tale of two halves in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting a point out of it. I would say both teams probably went into the match, you know, wanting to win, thinking mm-hmm. they could win.
Yeah.
Where does this leave? Like, what do we know about these two clubs now?
I think
it stands for match.
So we now know that Arsenal can play with that front three. I think that was something that we learned that was really important there. Whether they can get a midfield trio behind them to get the most out of them, I do feel like they're going to need to play. Ceballos behind them is kind of that creative player to feed those three a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, I think that's what we learned about Arsenal. I think we also learned, like, they're still frail in the back, and that remains. Like, Granit Xhaka giving away a penalty is so on brand. It really hurts. But I think from a Spurs perspective, I don't think we learned a whole lot other than they're still very reliant on Eriksen. Like, I think that if there's one key takeaway that I have is that he is the metronome that makes his side tick. And it's good he got a goal. Kind of eases over some of the tensions a little
bit. Sure, yeah, but, that's the hope.
But it also makes me a little worried about the future. Like, if there's not a game trying to replace him in any capacity, like, what are they going to do? So, my big thing about this match more than anything is I'm mad it happened this early in the season. Like, that's... I wish we could have gotten a little bit further into the year.
Now, is it true Serpentine schedule? Like, are you guys not going to play them again until, like, February, I'm guessing?
I have no,
or is it, like,
I
super the end of the season?
I'm going to be honest, I have no clue. Okay. I try not to look more than a couple weeks ahead most of the time. So I don't...
Smart. No, that's a good way to...
So I don't get myself worked into a tizzy about the long-term prospects of how bad my team is.
So that's where those two top six sides stand and where they how they fared over the week.
Sure.
Let's talk about the two at the top.
Kind of separating themselves from the pack.
City and Liverpool already, like, you don't even have to look at the table and go like, well, where they stand, how many points. That's actually not even like the more relevant part.
Sure.
Those two teams just have so much more. Like, you go into any weekend, regardless of who they're playing, you don't even, if someone just said, like,
unless it's each other,
yeah. If someone just told you to put, gave you $10 and said put five on one team and five on another, not even looking at matchups, you're just gonna go City and Liverpool,
like, instantly. It wouldn't even be a question right now,
because I feel like those are the only two teams that you can consistently feel with confidence, yes, outside of the times they play each other, that they're going to win their match.
Yeah.
And we've seen already early stumbles by United, by Chelsea, by Spurs, and by Arsenal.
Sure. I mean, of those other big sides, only Arsenal are within kind of shouting distance of them, and that's a five-point gap already. From sides like Tottenham, who many, ourselves included, would have put as the third team in England currently, they're 7 points behind already. So it's just, they're really pulling ahead right now. It feels like, we haven't even talked about what they did this weekend. Of course, they both won. And you just assume that they both win and that they won comprehensively.
Yeah, it was.
I watched Liverpool beat Burnley. Burnley kept it relatively close throughout the course of the first half.
Kept it respectable.
And then obviously it ballooned to 3-0 by the time the final whistle blew. But it was, like you were saying, you know each weekend they're going to roll out and they're going to punish whoever it is that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened this weekend.
And you don't feel that way about United. You don't feel that way about Chelsea. Don't feel that way about the North London teams.
Nope.
Let's get into that. I mean, let's talk about faltering.
Okay.
So those four teams all walked away with a point. Obviously we just talked about the North London Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Less exciting is what happened. We'll start with Manchester United going to Southampton, getting a goal with 10 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Southampton equalize. And then they also had someone get sent off around, like, the hour mark.
Yeah. Primed and ready for a Manchester United, victory, right? And a side like Manchester United with the might that they have financially should be able to put that game away.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's on the road or, this one was obviously at St. Mary's, so that was something they had to keep an eye on. But it doesn't matter. Like, that Manchester United should be putting clubs like that away.
So 73rd minute, Southampton goes down to 10 men. So a decent little bit there. 17 minutes, up a man. You're the big side. You're the big dog here. Couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it done. Nothing to show for it.
Chelsea, meanwhile, getting a 2-2 results. At home,
yep.
Against Sheffield United.
Went up 2-0 in this one.
Another newly promoted side.
Yep.
Shipping two against you at the Bridge.
Tammy gets a brace. Yeah, second brace in a row for positives. Tammy.
Get those positives.
Yeah, let's go there. Positives here. Tammy looked great.
Oh, he did look good. Really did.
Tomori looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good for his first, you know, real run out there with the squad.
Another babe made it onto the field in the second half too.
Oh, we literally put like a small child out on the field, like some 18-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Gilmore.
Was he at the birthday party you were at this weekend?
He might have been. Yeah. He might have been at the splash pad.
Yeah, man.
There might have been older people at the splash pad enjoying it, and that looked older than he did.
Okay.
18-year-old Billy Gilmore gets sent on. A lot of people will say that he's in a almost like a Fabregas kind of mold of just the type of player he is.
Okay.
So just another midfield option we have while we still have a lot of injuries. But then Sheffield score. They score right out of halftime. So right at the start of the second half.
It was like seconds after the second half restarted. Like literally seconds.
That's problematic.
I was still sitting down. Like, from doing some stuff at halftime, and like, oh, it looks like the second half's about to start. And I don't think my ass was even on my couch yet by the time the Blades were in the back of the goal.
Oh, yeah, I went upstairs to do something. And I was like, I got a few minutes. And by the time I came back down, it was already 2-1.
You did not have a few minutes.
And then late on, it looked like Chelsea was hanging on to get this win. Lampard get his first W at the Bridge. They had this whole big TIFO display of all of the former club legends that are currently employed by the club right now, which is like most of the team from like 2005. You have Lampard, you have Petr Cech, you have Jody Morris is also one who's Frank's right hand man, but you also have Paulo Ferreira is a club ambassador. Joe Cole, I think, just got a gig doing something.
Yeah.
Ashley Cole just got a gig within the academy, I believe. There's a lot of talks that Drogba is coming back to do something.
We've been talking about that forever, until it happens.
But yeah, so you have all these players kind of playing these roles. Makélélé is part of the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome, and it was exciting, and everyone's like, hey, Chelsea's going to get this first, win at home. Under Lampard's reign, and Kurt Zouma felt otherwise as he allowed a last-second ball into the box. And listen, it was coming. Sheffield was pressing.
Sure.
And they equalize. And all of the fun and pomp and greatness about that day flushed down the toilet. Kurt Zouma hosing us once again. Rudiger cannot get healthy fast enough.
No, he really can't at the moment.
We can't. I mean, it's... Why did we not just let Everton take him off our hands?
I don't know.
So bad.
One of those great mysteries.
He's just so bad right now.
He's had himself a start to the season.
I feel awful. I mean, he seems like a really great guy. And obviously, he's taking a lot of, like, abuse.
Yeah, that's...
Some of it in a pretty dark variety of, like, just racial abuse and just the awfulness that social media has become. Especially for minority players.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's rough to see a guy that is just creating that many problems on the back line.
So your boys in blue dropping two goals again to a promoted side at home.
Yeah.
You guys just aren't going to do clean sheets this year.
No, that's just not going to be our bag.
Something Spurs probably won't be doing much either.
That's cool. I mean, they're not in vogue right now.
Yeah, it's just...
is the way I see it.
It's on point in London to just give up goals.
Give up a rash of goals.
Quickly circle back around. We talked about these other sides that have struggled. I want to talk quickly about a Liverpool side that's obviously doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Still a perfect start to the season.
Right.
Let's find a flaw in this perfectness. And obviously, the argument...
Firmino going grumpy cat?
It wasn't Firmino. It was Mane.
It was Mane. Yeah, that's right. Firmino tried to
hey, buddy,
it's okay.
Just calm down there.
You're gonna make it.
But he was incised over Salah passing up an opportunity to pass to him. Probably should have passed to him. Salah did not take the opportunity to get a corner out of it, but get subbed off shortly after, and literally is having a go at Klopp for Salah passing up that opportunity, and Klopp in classic Klopp style, like turns around laughing, like. Yeah, it has to be so annoying.
It's like,
as a player.
Dude,
like,
it's
oh man,
fine.
Oh yeah, and that's what else can you do? And you got to be at least a little bit happy that your players are so angry that they're not necessarily getting those opportunities. But do you feel like this? Is this a thing, or is this just us
hoping to see some little dullness
to the side that has so much?
Yeah, I as much as I think we want this to be cracks in the foundation, I just
it's not.
It's a nothing burger.
It's definitely nothing more than that. If it develops into something more, I'm for that.
I think it was like the Liverpool social media person was like, had the camera of them coming in through the tunnel.
Yeah.
At the end of the match. And Mane, you can tell, is still mad about it. And Firmino gives the cameraman that look like, ooh.
Yeah.
And someone perfectly pointed is like, that's the look you give when you're at your friend's house and he gets into an argument with his parents. Yeah, and he's like, all right.
I saw Milner, too, had a shot of him on the bench. And it's Mane that's yelling right past him, and Milner's trying to, like, kind of calm him down a little bit. And Milner's caption was, like, Mane when he finds out that I've not been sold during the transfer window. Like, just having, you know, it's good to see that they're all poking a little bit of fun at it.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I feel like this is probably nothing.
It's a nothing.
I'd love for it to turn into something.
Oh, sure.
I'd be for that.
But it's not.
Yeah, it's probably.
Quickly, other things kind of around the Premier League. Any scores jumping out to you? Norwich losing again.
Yeah.
As West Ham gets a win. Talk about them in the when we get to European transfer stuff. As they send Chicharito out.
Yeah, he is permanently sold.
Gone.
So that is one less striking option that they have at their disposal. It did not seem to hurt them against the Canaries. One match that definitely stood out to me, Leicester getting a 3-1 win over Bournemouth. Leicester are quietly putting together a really decent start to the season.
Yeah.
And B-Raj, I think he's got a little decent team
that he's putting together. He does have a decent team. And like, as much as we spent
chiclet teeth and
a collective
new wives and
as the soccer, you know, community, we've spent like 6 years
just
making fun of this dude.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not like he hasn't brought it on himself, but at the same time, I do think this Leicester side are probably going to cause some trouble this year for some teams that are
Leicester,
probably better.
Is that the dark horse we overlooked?
Potentially. It's so easy to overlook them as a dark horse,
right,
though, because like they're not going to do anything.
They're certainly not going to do that again.
Yeah. Are they in the new Gonzaga? Like, we can't keep calling them an underdog anymore because they're
right now. It's just like, now that's just kind of what they do.
That's what they are now.
Literally, that's the program.
Yeah. But I do think that Brendan Rodgers' side, the Foxes are looking pretty sharp at the moment. The other match that I think we have to point out was the other Sunday match, and that was Everton Wolves. 3-2.
A lot going on in this one.
Three goals in the opening 12 and a half minutes.
Yep.
Which is pretty tasty. I can enjoy that. And then Richarlison just getting himself a nice little good finish. Like, he's slowly built himself into like a bit of a legend in Everton.
But this has been his thing, like, at Everton. He'll have these matches where you're like, this guy is one of the best strikers in the league. And then he will be a freaking ghost for a month and a half.
At the end of the season, when it really matters.
Yeah.
He did the same thing at Watford the first season that he broke into the Premier League as well.
Which,
so.
Okay, let's credit where credit's due. Watford finally got a point.
Yeah. Hey, guys, way to get yourself on the board.
As they drew 1-1 with also terrible Newcastle.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of terrible down there, I feel like, too.
Yeah, I was literally just looking at... So, current table, we're four matches in. As people always point out, like, they used to not even print the table in the newspaper in England until, like, the fifth week of the season.
Yeah.
But it is Watford in 20th, 1 point.
Yeah.
Norwich, 3 points. Aston Villa, 3 points. Wolves are also down there. Like, Wolves, as exciting as they've been, and they, like, they're also, like... kind of already running thin because they have to do Europa stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
They had to get through all that qualification.
Tired narrative, you know?
Yeah. So you have two of your promoted sides are already in the drop zone.
Mm-hmm.
With the other one in 10th in Sheffield United.
Yeah, Blade's doing all right at the moment. But you do look at a couple of the sides that we kind of would normally expect to do well. Watford, Wolves, Bournemouth, all in that kind of bottom range. Some of them have played some decent opponents. Watford are not among them.
Without looking at the table.
Yeah.
Just don't look down. Don't look down at that table.
Okay, because I have it in front
of me. Who are the top four?
All right. So you know who I know who two of them are. Obviously, Liverpool and City are sitting at the top.
Yep.
2 point
in that
gap,
order. Yep.
2 point gap for Liverpool.
Yes, sir.
I think Leicester are in third right now.
Leicester are in third. And then Crystal Palace is in fourth.
Let's be honest here.
That is so much fun.
Leicester may flirt with top four, top six, whatever. There's no way in hell that Crystal Palace are going to be in that position.
The mighty Gary Cahill's, man. Don't doubt him.
You know, I mean, it's probably something like Andros Townsend, too.
Yeah.
Zaha can't get out of there. May as well drag them into the top four if he can't get a transfer to his top four.
Crystal Palace always finds a way to be a fun club. They did it for a while by just being that kind of fun, like, new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're doing it with, like, hey, like, our club has all these just, like,
All the players that didn't make it.
Yeah,
at their
just
clubs.
The land of misfit toys. We got Townsend. We got Gary Cahill. Old Grandpa Roy Hodgson still our manager.
Me as well.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not upset about it at all. Did we miss anyone? I think that was.
I mean, we probably missed matches. I don't think a lot of them mattered. There was a lot of just duds.
Yeah, I think we actually said them all. If nothing else.
Sweet. They've been mentioned.
Check that off. Let's get over to the transfer window. That also got checked off today. It is officially closed across the globe.
Like, big names.
It
came out of nowhere.
Normally, the Premier League is like leading the way on transfer deadline day, right? And making all the big splashes and all the big deals getting done. But because of the way the English window closed, or at least the Premier League window closed, a couple weeks ago before the season started.
Uh-huh. That's right, because the EFL window actually closed today.
Today as well,
with the rest of...
Yeah, so it wasn't all of England. That all slammed shut, and obviously the Premier League sides are all meeting, I think, next week to be like, hey, can we get back on the same schedule as everyone else? We'd like that it's done before the season is done, but we would really like to not lose some of our best players.
And I think, like, not only, like, them losing it to, like... Like, guys leaving, but, like, the Premier League as a whole, like, Chris Smalling.
Mm-hmm.
In any other situation, Chris Smalling doesn't get loaned out to Roma.
No.
He gets loaned out to, like, Everton or, you know, Leicester or something like that. He stays within the league. He doesn't get, but his, at this point, his only option was like, hey, where in Europe you want to go?
But are you telling me that losing Chris Smalling is like a net loss for the Premier League? Because I'm going to have a hard time believing that.
It's not. You're right. It's not a net loss.
Yeah.
But it's just like, that's just kind of the game now. Like,
oh, it's definitely the game now.
You're going to see a lot of guys that get loaned out late and it ends up being too late and they end up just going to some random spots all over Europe.
And all over Europe, a lot of people did land. You were right in saying that it was a lot of big name players that moved, but let's real quickly check on three that didn't. And they were like three of the biggest transfer names that you expected to go this summer.
Right.
And none of them happened. Neymar. He's still at PSG. That's going to be a lovely situation to watch for the next 6 months.
Is he healthy? What is even his status?
I don't even know.
I don't get him.
Does Neymar have a healthy status?
I don't think so.
It's only when his
brain
is
fit or not. He's that kid in high school that's always got like a broken arm.
Oh, definitely.
And you're like, why? Your arm's still broken?
And he's like, I broke it again.
What is wrong with you?
Slip getting out of the bathtub. So Neymar's still at PSG. Gareth Bale is still at Real Madrid. Mind you, he during the Spanish Super Cup final, he was literally playing golf. So... Are they going to reintegrate him into the team?
I think this is going to be a situation. He's going to get the Floro Maluda treatment where he spends the last bit of his... Like, Floro Maluda spent, like, I think the last 18 months of his contract at Chelsea doing exclusively just training with the youth and not even being a part of, like, first-team operations.
Man, that's weird. One.
Yeah, two. It was a weird one.
Imagine having a guy on your roster who's making, like, $8 million, $9 million a year. And he is just training with the reserves. Like, what's great about Spanish soccer, their reserve sides actually play in the same pyramid as everyone
right,
else.
Right, like the third.
Is he going to turn out for Castilla, like for the Real Madrid reserve side? I'll pay Fubo or whoever I have to pay to watch a Spanish second division game that involves Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale.
Like, I'd love to watch Gareth Bale just blowing by some chump, like, defender in the Spanish Segunda. Like, that would be worth whatever $5 I plugged away at that day. And then the last name, of course, that a lot of people expected to move but did not, Christian Eriksen, which I'm obviously happy about. But as I said earlier, I'm sure it's going to be Dick City come January. So, really enjoying that one.
Take a trip out to Dick City.
Yeah, just it's the best place to go in January. But what were some of the big names that moved that really kind of caught your attention?
So we had Icardi.
Yeah.
He's going to PSG. So.
Yeah. That whole situation was just a complete drama fest.
So Inter's just a weird one right now.
But they also look really good,
They do. So here's one for you. Antonio Conte, in this window, got the two players that he asked Chelsea for. And the Chelsea board said no, which was Lukaku. And the other name that happened this week, Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
Those were the two names. He went to the board and said, I want these two players.
Yeah.
And they said no. And now he's here at this new club. And he was like, I guess I'll just ask for the same two players. So I guess Inter was like, all right, let's make this happen.
I was listening to On the Continent, which is the Football Rambles.
Right. It's their European
one. And they were talking, I think it was Michael Cox, who was talking a bit about the whole situation with how good players have kind of gone to die at United lately. Mm-hmm. And Alexis Sanchez, Lukaku, Daley Blind, just like some of these really big names. Falcao, who just was a total bust.
Falcao
there,
just
right?
went like to the Premier League to just be just a 2 year just
bit part off the bench. So.
Remember, United ended up loaning him to Chelsea.
Yeah. United loaning anyone to Chelsea is just absurd, let alone a potentially world-class striker. And people seem to think, like, oh, their careers are dead. But then once they get out of United, like, they seem to resurrect. Like, Falcao, once he went back to Monaco, like, lit the world back on fire again and won the league with them, right? So it's just...
So Alexis Sanchez leaves now, goes to Inter on a loan.
Yeah.
Remember, he was moved... he was basically a swap with Mkhitaryan, who is now also gone.
Yeah.
I think he went to Roma as well.
Yeah, I think he went to Roma. Yeah. It's just a wild set of movements on that particular front. Yeah, Icardi ended up leaving and going to PSG from Inter. That was pretty high profile as well.
Chris Smalling, as we mentioned, Roma.
Mm-hmm.
Bakayoko went back to Monaco.
Oh, how are you feeling about that?
I mean, we had a lot of options at midfield, and he was never one of them.
No, he really didn't get any market time at all for you guys, so I guess good move?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was any other ones. But yeah, it was just kind of, you know, so you had, like, Mkhitaryan, Smalling, and United sent someone else out, that Darmian guy.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Like, all three of those kind of, like, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, those weren't, like, I don't... Unless I was missing something, I didn't hear, like, big rumors about, like, oh, these guys are definitely on their way out, like, right now.
No. I mean, that's certainly not necessarily the...
And here, over the course of Labor Day, I'm sitting at a 4-year-old's birthday party at a splash pad, just looking at my phone going, like, oh, he's gone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now he's gone, too?
That's
and Chris Smalling exists.
Yeah. I mean, it was a busy day to close the window, and we got to enjoy the fruits of that.
So if you were Premier League, you'd say you'd go back to the old setup just so that you avoid kind of missing out on that end of the window? Or what do you think is
Ideally, what I'd want is everyone to start at the same time, so that way everyone would be done doing their business at the same time. Like, the whole idea of having your business done before the start of the season, I think, is such a valuable idea, like, in general, that... I see the value, and I understand why the Premier League moved to where they moved.
Like, ideally, the Premier League gets all of Europe to join them instead of the other way around.
Right.
Because I feel like you're right. I think ultimately it's going to be the Premier League just kind of quitting this move.
Oh, tough.
Because Europe's not going to fall in line.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, yeah, no one's going to fall in line. Europe, why would they leave like 3 weeks on the table for some of those leagues? Like, oh, what, we're not going to register players when we've got another 3 weeks before our season starts? Like, that doesn't make any sense at all. So, I don't know. I again remain annoyed at the system, but don't have an answer for it. It's the perfect internet bitching, basically. Yeah. Like, this is a tweet.
Here are the problems. What are your solutions? I have none.
There are none.
I have no solution.
Yeah.
But I'm very not happy about what's happening.
No, I don't think so at all. So, shall we move to domestic issues, matters, things of those nature?
Domestic issues, domestic matters. Let's hit both of those.
Okay.
Let's go stateside as we talk about the MLS. And as I mentioned, Tale of Two Cities.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on display, actually, both teams that I'm going to mention, lost.
That's right.
FC Cincinnati, they fall again. Scoreline irrelevant, I believe 3-1.
It's 3-1.
Yeah. Is your final.
20th loss of the season.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into that first stat. So 20th loss, the record in Major League Soccer is 25 losses. There are 6 matches left.
I feel reasonably confident that will at least be equaled, right?
Okay, yeah. No, that's even actually the long shot of all the other stats that they could possibly smash. All
right, go on.
18 points is what they sit on. 18 points. By the way, Columbus Crew, who are also garbage,
mm-hmm.
And right above them, are actually on like 31 points.
That is just a measure that's not good at all.
So the worst point total of the actual current setup, because mm-hmm. remember back in like the 2000s, you'd play like 24 regular season games.
Right.
And Tampa Bay Mutiny, I think, had like 13 points.
Okay.
They're good there. Because DC United still finished in the current format we have in 2013 with 16 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was not 20. Yeah. I knew that for sure.
But again, they're at 18.
Okay.
So it's not like they're really steering clear of it.
No.
Do you know the goal differential right now?
It's like minus 39?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Minus 39 goals.
I do cover the team, so it's...
Well, you should probably know that.
Yeah.
As long as that stays, or at least doesn't improve more than like 3,
mm-hmm.
that'll be the standard bearer. That'll break the record.
That one, I think they're certain to beat.
67 goals allowed. The record is 74. There are 6 matches left.
So they can only give up 7 more to equal that?
Yeah. They might do that in like 2 matches.
That could easily be in 2 matches. Yeah, that one's certain to happen as well.
I was going to say, they've dropped a 7 in 1 match this year. Yeah,
it has happened. It could be happening as soon as Toronto this weekend.
So, we talked about it a little bit last week. FC Cincinnati, a disaster, and now on pace in a lot of metrics to be the worst MLS team of all time.
For a club that literally said our goal is the playoffs the first season.
Yeah.
Which you can debate whether that's a goal that a team should be setting for themselves, given that they knew what their financial situation was at the time.
Well, that's, and so that begs the question. That means either one of two things is true. Either the people that said it, the person that said it, was completely delusional, or lying through his teeth, willingly and knowingly, just giving a line of bull that he knew was a line of bull.
So, well, I wouldn't put that past the person who were.
What's the third option?
I'm not saying there's another option. I fully believe that FC Cincinnati and general manager Jeff Birding, now deposed general manager and just team president, he wholeheartedly believed the team he was constructing was capable of making the playoffs. And
I'm trying to think what is worse, being delusional or being a liar.
depends on the moment, I suppose.
I guess.
And the outcome. When you have this outcome, both look pretty bad. I think the issue is definitely that this team thought they could perform better. And if you look at the pieces individually on paper, and just, again, looking at them individually, because if you look at them on the sum, then again, that's where a lot of the problems start looking up. But the individual pieces, there were some, you'd look at some of those players and go, okay, they've got some decent advantage or experience in the league. There's some names in there that I'll recognize. Like, okay, this side could get some victories. Like, I knew it was going to be bad this year. Okay, I knew they weren't going to be good. I knew they weren't going to make the playoffs when this team was put together. I knew all those things. I didn't think they would be this bad. Like, this,
yeah.
This is worse than what I anticipated.
Well, remember, we all were fearing we don't want to pull a Minnesota.
Yeah.
Which Minnesota, year one, oh man, they were rough. And they were giving up goals left and right.
Mm-hmm.
That team won 10 games. This team has won 5 yeah. with 6 remaining.
Yeah, like
and I don't see them winning more than one of those.
I think if they'd been Minnesota, we would all been like, that's a bit disappointing. But okay, you know, like we got that one under our belt.
I think we would all gladly take that record as opposed to what we're currently dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, this is abysmally bad.
So I guess that kind of remains the question of, like,
how do they fix it?
How do they fix it?
I don't know. And there's a lot of pieces and a lot of things that can be done, but there's a lot of things that can't be done. And this is going to be a very interesting offseason for this club.
Yeah. I almost, like, can't wait for the offseason to start.
Partially
because I'm tired of going to these games.
Yes.
Second of all, because I almost want to see, like, what's the plan? Like, I want to see them actually have to make these moves, and they have a lot of – there's so many decisions. I mean, Ron Yan said these last 7 games are really basically everybody's audition of if they're going to be a part of us or
yeah.
not next year.
I think a lot of people are failing that audition and
yeah.
won't find their way back if the club can find a way to not find them back.
But at this point, these guys have been failing that audition all season. That, like, what, who else in this league is taking
that's
these
the
guys?
Problem. The stock is so low for so many of these players. Like, you almost have to find a way to manipulate the data at your disposal to make them, like, have value again. You know what I mean? Like, you have to fabricate value for these guys. So, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting offseason. But I have a feeling that the other side that you wanted to heap some praise on is the Tale of Two Cities. Though they lost this weekend.
Yeah, and a stunning loss.
Yeah.
To Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like,
at home to Minnesota, nonetheless. Yeah. But they're setting records themselves.
So, LAFC having a great season.
Mm-hmm.
Lost this weekend, notwithstanding.
Sure.
So, all they have to do is win one more game. If they have won the match we all assumed they would have won, this match at home against Minnesota, they would have actually already locked up the one seed in the Western Conference.
Nearly got it.
With 6 matches left.
That's pretty sizable advantage they have there.
Yeah. So you have that. You have the fact that 19 wins is mm-hmm. what they currently sit on. Again, 6 matches left. The record is 24. So they're probably going to get right there.
Yeah, it'll be close, but I think they'll get there.
62 points. The record is 71.
9 points
from
their final 6 matches.
6 matches.
Yeah, that one seems pretty likely.
Like, it seems pretty likely they're going to win at least 3 matches.
Yeah.
74 goals scored. The record is 85.
So again, 11
goals in 7 matches or in 6 matches.
Possible. That one seems the least amount of
goals. That's
less than
2 goals a match.
It is, but it seems like you could have a couple games like they got blanked by Minnesota.
Sure. But they could also just throttle someone and drop, you know, 5 right there.
Yeah.
44 is a goal differential.
Right.
And that, at the moment, is the current record.
Man. You haven't even gotten, like, the individual stuff with Carlos Vela.
No, I mean, we're not even getting into individual stats of just, you know, the amazing season he's having. But mm-hmm. just You have two teams right now in the league that are tracking for two historical seasons. One of them, very good, and the other one,
historically bad.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, quite the dichotomy that we're looking at in MLS. Looking around the league, a couple other things. FC Cincinnati, of course, officially eliminated from playoff contention with that 20th loss. So, sorry, Jeff, you missed on that prediction. They weren't the only side eliminated from the playoffs this weekend. Vancouver also biting the dust officially.
That's a shame.
Two losses this week for them, one in the midweek and then another one over the weekend. So they're pretty bad as well. Seattle getting a big 4-3 win over the Galaxy. That one has a lot of playoff implications out west. It's just I feel like we're going to get a good MLS playoffs this year. Like I have that feeling.
That's Seattle. Did you watch any of that Seattle Galaxy
match? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, it's just
score fest.
Lots of goals. So good. Zlatan being Zlatan. Oh, like it's everything you can ask for. Just looking around, another kind of shocking result that happened over the weekend that's at least noteworthy for coaching reasons. Red Bulls now losing at home to Colorado, another one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
And a big win for their new manager. Get Robin Fraser getting one under his belt. Yeah. First one for the Rapids. So stuff happening.
Union won. Mm-hmm. They beat Atlanta.
Oh yeah, that one.
That not only did they like win that match and like shock everyone with that one, that actually vaults them into the top of the East.
Yeah,
the Union.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Philadelphia Union.
Slow burn. Actually, Philly had kind of been pacing the East for a good chunk of the season.
Yeah,
but Atlanta after their slow start really have put together a good run of form, and they've won a couple cups over the last couple weeks. Like we haven't even talked about this yet. Atlanta United won the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it last week.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Literally watching it as we were podcasting.
I was tired.
Yeah, it was a good one, though.
Yeah, it was a good one.
But yeah, and a season that's gone really well for Atlanta. Mm-hmm. There's actually two teams above them currently in the East.
Yeah, that's right. NYCFC, the other of those, they get a 3-1 victory at Vancouver, knocking them out of the playoffs. And doing themselves some help in the Eastern race as well. So
it's funny out west, like LAFC is at like setting 62 points.
Yeah.
The next closest, like second, is like 46 points. And then like second through seven, it's literally like a difference of like 3 points.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one at the close of the bell in MLS as we get closer and closer to that. So there's your domestic update. Anything you want to write in there that domestically that we've missed? NISA kicked off.
Alleged. Did it? Yeah, I guess it did.
Yeah. Oakland Roots played a couple games, or at least one.
Yeah.
Sold it out. I don't know how they
I haven't updated my Cujo subscription. I guess I didn't watch.
It's just still mind boggling. Jack McNerney is
playing. Yeah, he scored their first ever goal.
Yeah, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, I remember when they made that signing, I was like, that Jack McNerney? Like,
is there another Jack McNerney out there? So there are some NISA names out there that we'll recognize, I think. So good for them for getting the first matches under the belt. Let's get into winners and wankers.
Good for them. Good for you, NISA. Your league got kicked off, and half of the show realized that it happened.
That's good.
Congrats.
Hashtag relevance.
Hashtag it's going great.
Yeah.
I don't know about that league.
Sorry.
Like, what is it? What are they actually going to do that's going to be different? I know there's going to be things that it's going to be quote unquote different, but like, they claim they're going to be the ones that's going to like change the landscape of American soccer because they're going to do the right things and they're going to have promotion and relegation within it and they're going to be the ones that's going to force the paradigm shift in American soccer. I don't see it.
I mean, it's sounding a lot. I mean, those are a lot of the same talking points that NASL had.
Yeah, how'd that go for them? When does their season kick off?
Depends on when the courts allow them to not be locked up and.
And for their teams to actually exist again,
that
any of them.
Edmonton now plays in the Canadian Premier League, you know.
That's good. It's good for them that they live on.
The Rowdies are in a different league. Ottawa's in a different league. Indy's in a different league.
Good.
all the other teams are dead. Now the Cosmos are
they're
a thing, but they're playing NPSL.
NPSL, so yeah. That's sort of alive.
Yeah, sure. Sure. There's also that President's Cup
that was supposed to be. Was that a thing?
I think it was supposed to be NPSL Pro eventually, but that now seems like that's dead.
Right, because all those teams that were part of it have already jumped ship to NISA.
Yeah, I hear the skepticism. I want to be positive for them.
Like NISA's got teams in LA and Atlanta. What if I'm a soccer consumer? What, and I live in those cities? What are they honestly offering me that's going to make me go, screw, I don't want to go watch Carlos Vela just ball out for this amazing LAFC team and this amazing, beautiful stadium. I don't want to go watch Zlatan play with one of the Dos Santos brothers. I'm in Atlanta. I don't want to watch this phenomenal MLS team that's well built with a lot of young, exciting South American players. And they play in this just beautiful state-of-the-art stadium. Yeah. I don't want to do any of that.
No.
I want to go, like, I'm in Atlanta. I want to go out to Alpharetta, out in the burbs, and watch the Atlanta Muckrakers, or whatever their name is, play soccer at, like, JUCO college or something like that. Why am I picking one of the, like, what am I actually doing?
I don't want to drive down and fight downtown traffic.
I mean,
I have an aversion to extremely large buildings.
You're definitely not going to like Mercedes-Benz.
No. I'm sure there's a niche somewhere that makes sense.
No, but that's the thing. There's a niche.
There's a niche within a niche. Yeah.
Soccer in itself, in a way, is still a niche.
Yeah.
You're talking about a niche inside of that niche. How much money is that going to get you?
A niche amount.
Oh, my goodness. This is a disaster.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else?
I feel like
winners
that,
or wankers?
I feel like we just did wankers, didn't we? It's
perennial wankers. Yeah. These leagues. Let's go winners, wankers. What do you got?
Give me your
winner.
I'll go with my winner. I'm going to Bolton Wanderers and their supporters who saw their club get saved this week.
Uh-huh.
Big news for them after we saw Bury go down.
Bury thought they were up.
They're now gone.
You're done. You're done.
Although it seems like there's some legal things they're going to try to...
Bob, let's hope.
For their supporters' sake, you would want that. But the Wanderers getting their act together with Football Ventures White Limited that's come together to save their club.
Why is it got to be white?
I mean, they're the whites, right?
Okay, what?
This isn't a racist thing, Jeremy. Don't take it there. You don't need it to be there. But I'm really happy to see them get saved. That's a truly historic club. Not that Bury aren't as well, and it does feel a little bit like you're dancing on the grave of a club that's gone as we celebrate Bolton's survival.
Mm.
But still happy for their supporters and for that club to persist. You never want to see anyone die that type of death, and glad to see the Wanderers are doing that. Who you got for a winner this week?
My winner is Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Not because there's a Whole Foods now, like right next to my house that I'm hanging out at.
Yeah.
But they have, I saw no pub about this, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, they dropped this 6-part documentary on Leeds season last year.
What?
It is, first of all, probably aesthetically, some of the best cinematography I've seen in a soccer documentary.
And you get a, like, is it behind the scenes stuff?
Oh, absolutely it is.
With Marcelo Bielsa?
That's the guy, yeah. That's the one.
Oh, my. I might need to finally pony up for a Prime subscription.
It's worth it.
Oh, my gosh.
It is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh.
So well done. Amazon, I mean, obviously we don't see it as much here.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously they've taken over some rights. Over in the UK and in Europe.
Sure.
So because of that, they are creating all this other content to go with it. They have this is football documentary series that they just pushed out at the beginning of August. They have this one. There's a behind-the-scenes series they did with Dortmund last year that just came out. So you have a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff. They had the City one that they did the year before.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, this is good stuff coming out of them.
All right. Just what I needed, another monthly subscription out there, huh?
Get them.
Let's
get them.
My winker this week, I'm going to UEFA. I don't even know that UEFA are the ones that are going to get the blame, that deserve the blame for this, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. They named Eden Hazard as the Europa League Player of the Year this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Big deal. You guys won the Europa League, right?
You sure did.
It's a big deal. I'm not mocking this here. I'm truly not.
Yeah.
Hazard, obviously the best player on the Chelsea side who won that. It's a big deal.
Yeah, scored a brace in the final, I believe.
He played in just 33% of Chelsea's matches in the tournament.
Meanwhile, Giroud played in most of those matches and
scored
was the Golden Boot winner of the tournament.
He scored in just one of those 15 matches you mentioned. That was the final. He had a brace in the final. Named Europa League Player of the Season. Methinks that award is a joke. Like, how did you not give it to Giroud?
It should absolutely have gone to Giroud. It's a crime.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What a terrible decision. So, yeah, UEFA gets that. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that actually was mine.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible.
No, because you know how much I love Giroud.
Yeah.
And listen, Hazard doesn't play for us anymore, so
no.
I'm not super excited about him. Like, hey, he won it. He didn't deserve it, but yeah, he won it. He's our guy. He's not my guy.
He's not your guy anymore.
So I want the people that should win it, and the person that should have won it was Olivier Giroud.
Yeah, that's a crime against humanity.
Yeah. I was going to say, because like, Callum Hudson-Odoi played a lot of Europa minutes out there on the left. Instead of Hazard.
Yeah. Yeah, like pretty much that was where he was getting his breakthrough.
That was where he was getting his minutes last season.
And they were kind of like, well, shit, if he's going to play this well, we got to get him into like league matches.
Yeah, no, he was getting the midweek stuff is all he was getting.
Well, here we are. That is the end of this week's show. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, which no one ever does, but occasionally it happens. We have an email. You can get on the website. Jeremy's at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond on Twitter as well. We will talk to you guys maybe next week. It's international breaks. We'll play this one by ear.
It's international break.
Depends on how the national.
Before we record, I described what my week's going to look like for you.
Yeah, that's right.
So
you're
going to
have a busy one.
Might not be alive by that point.
Well, if you're not, I'm sure we'll find someone to fill in for you.
Okay.
Again.
Call up Maloney.
That's right. Talk to you guys soon.
All
right,
bye. And I was holding your hand like this. The inevitable first kiss. Another devil was born that morning. Hurt so sweet.